chapter 2. And for those who of our church family that is, as we've gone through Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2 is going to feel like we've kicked into overdrive. Genesis chapter 2. Because we have a pretty big chunk here, but it does all make sense. Genesis 2, starting at verse 4, and reading quite a bit. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow, that which is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out from Eden to water the garden. From there it parted and became four river heads. The first of the name is Pishon, which it is the one that skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon, which is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Syria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your magnificent word. And Lord, already as we have spent time looking at you as the creator of the universe, Lord, this opens up new doors to us here, even this morning. We thank you for it. Lord, thank you for being the creator of all things, being the ruler of the universe and the ruler of this world. Lord, even when things look to be some places very chaotic, Lord, you're still in control. You still sit on the throne. You haven't abdicated nor stepped down nor given the keys to someone else. You are the Lord. So we thank you for that. And Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your children, even here. And Lord, for what you've done for our sister Jill and others now, Lord, who continue to need your physical mercies and grace, Catherine, Nancy, Ellen, Rosie, others. Lord, just for your help, please. And Lord, we pray again for our country. And we pray for those over us in authority, as your word says, that they may operate with their decisions beyond themselves, beyond a political party, beyond their own agendas, to operate in the fear of God. May they do that which is right and good. But Lord, we pray especially for the Supreme Court as they're going over the whole aspect of what marriage is. We pray that you would direct their minds, direct their hearts to what your word states, and they just cannot willy-nilly change the definition of husband and wife, that man and woman that you have created. So Lord, we pray for them in that. We pray for your word as it goes out around the world. Lord, thank you that we have an invested share to those who are sharing in different places of the world, sharing the gospel. And Lord, just for your mercy to them. And Lord, as your word goes out here, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that are open. Give us minds that are alert, engaged. Help us to understand. Lord, help me, please. Lord, for your glory, for our good, for your blessings, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 2. It's about paradise. Paradise. I'm not talking Paradise, California. Paradise, Michigan, Montana, Pennsylvania, Texas, Utah, or even Paradise, Kansas. I don't even know what Paradise, Kansas would look like. It's probably misnamed, sort of like if you've ever been to scenic South Dakota. Anybody here ever been to scenic South Dakota? It's totally misnamed, is that correct? It's almost anything but. The original paradise. What's interesting, there are stories in mythology, Greek mythology, Egyptian, Chinese, African, Icelandic, Australian, many cultures have stories in which man and the gods lived together, and man and animals in harmony. Where'd they get those ideas? In harmony. Paradise. So when you think of paradise, do you think of, to go back to those pearl white beaches and the palm trees, and you just knock on one and the ripe banana falls in your hands? You knock on another and there's a coconut, and how do you get that crazy thing open? Paradise, or maybe it's something else in your minds. Paradise. Sometimes you'd say of something, it's perfect. That's what I think about here, perfect. The original paradise, and I'd like us to look at seven elements that made the original paradise, paradise. I'm sorry I didn't give you anything to write on, but seven elements. The first, in verses 4-7, is that it is an amazing creation. Amazing creation. Genesis chapter 2 is complementary to Genesis chapter 1. It doesn't repeat a whole lot. It doesn't contradict it at all. What it does is explains and sort of fills in the details. So we're going from the cosmos and stars and galaxies now to a place, a location on Earth, Eden, and the people who were there, paradise. And you can tell that because of how this starts, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. And I refresh my study this week with realizing or finding out Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 is a Hebrew chiliastic parallelism. Isn't that great? You're going, yeah, what? A Hebrew chiliastic parallelism. And if you look at Genesis 2, 4, you'll understand what it is. It is a grammatical expression. And you think when you read it, let me read it for you again, you think, is this guy repeating himself? Because this is the history of the heavens and earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So you have two thoughts for emphasis repeated only in like a mirror expression. First thought, this is the history or the generations of the heaven and earth, heaven and earth. Second thought, in which God created them. Third thought, though, when the Lord God made them, created, made. Fourth thought, the earth and the heavens. See, in looking in the mirror, it's sort of backwards because even heavens and earth turns into earth and heavens. Isn't that interesting? So it's like a major shift of thought here, going from vast to one idea. Also, it moves from God to Lord God. So for the first time in the Bible, we have the phrase Lord God expressed. Up to this time, it's about 35 times, and God said, God, Elohim, God, God, Creator, the title meaning Creator. And now in here you have who? The Lord God. So yes, it's still God, Elohim, but you have, I think it's Adonai, Lord, Covenant Redeemer, the God of relationship now. Not just the mighty Creator, but the God of relationship, Savior, Redeemer, the Lord God. And that's how you put those together. So now the Creator becomes the one who wants to be in relationship to his people. And so the shift is from vast to people. And that's why in the garden, there's people. You notice that? You know, it's interesting. We're going to see more and more how everything that's in the Scripture, what the Bible says, here's what God did. And at the very start, the devil, who is not original or even creative with everything that he wants to do to strike down the Scripture, the Word of God, has twisted it. And so here, because now you have movies like, oh, I don't know what's out there. The world would be a better place if there were no people in it, right? Because it's people causing global warming. Oh, and all these things. People are, we're the problem. You know, if this were that kind of church, I'd have you turn to your person sitting next to you and go, you're a problem. No, but we're not that kind of church, right? Just kidding, folks. You know, smile with me. And I said, we'll have enjoyed going through Genesis. But that's how people are. People are the problems. If we got rid of people, the earth would revert back to its paradise state. But God created paradise for human beings. For human beings. And so in paradise, we find people. This is interesting. Anyhow, that's free. Human beings. Made in the image of God, like I said, Genesis chapter 2 does not repeat chapter 1. It fills in the blanks. So human beings made in the image of God, as we've looked, from the dust of the earth, and God breathed, ruach, I believe, breath, spirit, into the person, and man became a living soul, a living being. And so human beings, unlike anything else on the face of the planet, and you know, again, okay, we're just educated animals, right? We're just part of the animal kingdom. Because now that they captured somewhere some, I don't know, brown bear standing upright in some zoo, it's like, wow, that makes the news. See, bears know how to turn into human beings. Just give them time. Because they can walk upright on, yeah, so do circus bears. They learn to walk upright on two legs too, circus bears. At least they used to. I've been to the circus. But human beings, unlike anything else. So, we're there. An amazing creation. And then verses 8 to 14. Lord God planted a garden. What was grown there? The name is Eden. Verse 8, Eden, a perfect location. Eden means delight. Delight. Imagine a garden that God planted. Good, huh? It doesn't get much better than this, folks. This is paradise. The Lord God planted a garden in a place that the Bible calls delight. Does that just hopefully make good images come to your mind? Delight, perfect location. Where is it at? We're not sure. A river, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, a river that branched out in four different branches. Biblical scholars do not even know where two of these rivers, what they are. They know two, Euphrates. And so the location of Eden, it could be in Iraq. Mesopotamia, biblical Mesopotamia, we know as Iraq. I don't know, there's been so much, I mean, we're going to have the flood, and that'll sort of do something with the geography, but there is the Euphrates River. It's still there today. So this was something that came up and branched out. Perfect location. And then number three, verse 15, a productive vocation. Productive vocation. Work. Work. Work in paradise? That doesn't sound like paradise to me. I thought paradise was relaxing. You know, sitting around eating bonbons, enjoying the sunsets, right? Listening to the waves lap on the beach. Work. And look at verse 15. Took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it, to take care of the perfect garden. Bugs. Now, because we've seen in Genesis 1, even the insects and such, bugs, yeah, but not bugs that will bug you. Not bugs that will be pests. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. They'll leave you alone. You can play with them. And no weeds. That comes later. Now, so how is he going to tend the garden if there's no weeds? Well, probably because of the luxurious growth at the time. If you'd take a seed out of something, come back in a week later, who knows, it's probably sprouting already. Luxurious growth, because the Lord God had, there was no rain, but there was a mist, verse 6, that came up and watered the whole face. So there was a daily watering. It didn't even have to get out the hose. So that's being taken care of. But luxurious growth. So the plants that need to stay out of the garden are out. The things that are planted in, take care of that. Anyways, something to do, as we've looked at, something to do makes a part of our human lives, which we've looked at in here, where God gives something to be, something to do, something to have. And that's a lot of life right there, to be, to do, and to have. So here it's the doing of it. In paradise, keeping active. Verse 15. Verse 16 and 17 sort of together. 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. First of all, verse 16, incredible permission. Incredible permission. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. We see from Genesis 1 there were all kinds of trees that the Lord had to come up out of the ground just there. All kinds. So there's all kinds of every. What? You got the whole plantation. And it's got, who knows what it's got on it? Who knows? Who knows in the creativity of God the kind of fruits that were produced from trees at that time. Oh, probably what we have now is distant relatives to it. Distant relatives. But couldn't you imagine in paradise the taste of something? So you knock on the tree and you have a fresh whatever that you can just get and eat, because there's nothing like a fresh whatever that's off the tree, right? Nothing like it. So of all the trees, incredible permission of all these, everything that's there. And yet, the fifth, verse 17, that's why I want to put these together, a single regulation. A regulation in paradise? Yes, verse 17, you shall not. Of one rule. Of all this you may, but of this one here, you shall not. See, there are a couple things about freedom that, again, the devil and rebellious human nature just wants to twist. Some things about freedom is, it's permitted. Freedom is permitted by God. But it's also limited at the same time. Well, but our culture says freedom is anybody has any right to do anything they want at any time, period. It's like, sure, you can. Now, some things you might want to do will end you up in jail. But we are not of the Minority Report generation yet, where they can figure out you're going to do a crime before it happens. So you have freedom. But that's not freedom. Biblically, freedom is what is permitted by God. Of all this you can eat, and you know, bountiful, permitted, but it's also one rule is minimum, and the one rule is preventative. It's preventative. Because for the first time in the Bible, we have the word die. And it means to die. It doesn't mean to be ruined. It doesn't mean to be destroyed. It means death or die. And God uses it for the first time. And it's kind of like God is saying to Adam at this point, living is good, dying is bad. You don't want that. Any questions? Because in the day in which you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, I don't know if Adam, we don't know if Adam understood what does die mean yet, because this is the first time that we know recorded that the word is used to him. But we can assume he just thought, that's not good. God says, no, don't do this, because when you do, it's going to happen. This will happen, and I don't want you to. Single regulation. Freedom is permitted. The one rule is minimum, and it's preventative. Number 6, verses 19 and 20, mental stimulation. Mental stimulation. What happens in 19 and 20? Well, there's beasts being brought, and Adam gave them names, but there was no one who fitted him. So I call this the name game. The man named them. Scientists estimate that we use about 1/10 of our mental capacities, 1/10 of our brain. It's kind of a general thing. But I'm not sure about that, because if scientists are using 1/10 of their brain to come up with that observation, then wouldn't that make it less than 1/10? Because here's Adam. As far as a human being created by God, perfect. And so his mental capacity, probably way beyond ours. And so these different looking creatures. Notice there's no of the creatures. They are, verse 20, cattle, birds, beasts of the field. So what's left out? Everything that's in the ocean. It's not there. That's fine. We've seen in Genesis 1, there's a lot in the ocean. But for some reason, God doesn't take Adam in that direction. So these are all land things. Domestic type of animals. Non-domestic, though there was no violent animals at that time yet. And then birds. Here's a red bird, and Adam called it red bird. Here's a bluebird, and Adam said bluebird. Now, who knows? But he gave names to them all. But God let Adam do that in exercising his mental capacity. Names, and Adam named them. And as far as God was concerned, the names Adam gave, who knows, maybe he gave them scientific names. The names Adam gave, it's like, that's it. That's the name. Got it. And so they were. That's what it says. And yet, there's nobody for him. Mental stimulation, single regulation, incredible permission, productive vocation, perfect location, an amazing creation. And so at the end, verses 21 to 25, we come to this enjoyable situation. Now, next week, Lord willing, I'm going to speak on what the Bible has to say about male and femaleness, because it's all here. So if this is recorded and gets out on the net, I hope some of you will come and visit me in jail, because it will not be politically correct. Maleness and femaleness, according to God's standard, according to the Bible. That's where it starts. So, and does that mean you'll come and visit me? Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. Sign of support. But an enjoyable situation. Enjoyable situation. Here's male and female. And the Lord God caused sleep, took a rib, all of that. There's been enough jokes made about the rib taken. But he did not create Eve, which would be her name, independently. He took part of the actual life of Adam and made her. Didn't create her independently, but to be a helper suitable, because there was no helper comparable or suitable for him, because, as all the women will agree, man needs help. Yeah, and all the ladies said, yeah, right on. And all the honest men go, yeah, that's right. So I have my wife helper for many years. Helper. That's right. Because it's the first time when man is alone, God said, that's not good. Man's alone, it's not good for a man to be alone. So, we need to do something about that. Pastor's rough version translation. Helper suitable. So, verse 22, he brings her, the ceremony, he brought her to the man, ceremony, and now in 24 and 25, there is an intimate companionship. Intimate companionship. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife. They'll be one flesh. They were both naked, man and his wife, not ashamed. Intimate companionship, no secrets, no hiding. As the pastor who married us said before, once you get married, no pretense, no privacy. Okay. Thank you, Pastor John Durkee. He was right. And I know in our culture and time, hard time grasping the, at the very end, and they were not ashamed. Well, they were not. Nakedness for marriage, for being united. So, again, Hannah, you don't have to get married right away. You're going to, some guy, young guy is going to be out there. Some in time. And your mom's not even paying me to say this part for this morning. Be a young guy, loves the Lord, serving him. You might look at each other and your eyes might glow for a second. Who knows? The Lord knows. I'm just pulling with her, folks. You know, it's good. What's that? It takes one to know one, yeah. Yeah, when you long as he, if he walks into pillars as he's looking at you, that's even better. So, but here it is, an enjoyable relationship, an enjoyable companionship, an enjoyable situation. So, a couple things to take away from this. Heaven, since we're talking about perfect, heaven, perfect, amazing creation of God's doing. I go to prepare a place for you, said Jesus, to those who believe in him, who believe his death on the cross was for their sins and their rebellion against God, and have trusted him for eternal life and forgiveness and for forever. Heaven, perfect situation of God's doing. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come in again and draw. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus, using a type of, this is kind of like heaven, amazing creation. Perfect location, heaven. Why, it's heavenly. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Perfect location. Productive vocation, heaven. I like sit around and strum harps all the time. Yeah, I don't think so. But something to do? I think so. Productive vocation. Incredible permission. Will there be rules in heaven? I don't know. Mental stimulation in heaven? You bet. Stretch the mental capacity to the max, and then it grows even more in heaven. Mental stimulation. Enjoyable situation. Marriage in heaven? No, Jesus said, nope. Like the angels, not marriage. But enjoyable situation, the whole thing. See, this is, paradise is the earth now, at its best. At its best. Now, if you read ahead a couple pages, you know it's not going to last that way very long. But for right now, it's at its best. Even though at its best, it's limited, whereas heaven is unlimited. Unlimited. Enjoyable situation. Because in heaven, it's the presence of God in a way that goes beyond, as we'll see, the presence of God in the garden in his perfect creation with man and woman. The presence of God in heaven. The presence of God on earth, we'll see, limited to man and woman. But the presence of God in heaven to his children, unlimited. Great. Heaven. But again, one more thing to take away from this, because it's not going to last way that long. Here we are, perfect in every way. Sin is around the corner. It's not the externals that cause us to sin. It's not the externals. Here you have all the externals of life are perfect. It's not, you know, what makes people better? Education? Government programs? Nah. More money? No. Better living conditions? You can't get better than this. No. Give them good jobs? No. Because this is perfect, but it's all external at this point. I mean, it's man and woman yet, sin hasn't entered, but as far as environment, it's perfect. So it's not the externals that cause us to sin. It's not the externals. It's the internals. Here we have that. And so Jesus comes and dies for us later, which we'll see even in Genesis. It just doesn't get any better, and here we are. Except for those who trust in Jesus Christ, in which the new heavens and the new earth will be better yet. Why not trust in him for forever? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you again for your word. And it's just amazing, Lord, what you've done. Father, help us to trust you. Pray for everyone here. I don't know some of these people, Lord, myself, but you do. You know their hearts. You know their lives. You know their souls. You know their history. You know their future. And I just pray that if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, help them to wrestle with that, to examine it, Lord, because there might be a lot of that's good about their lives right now, but I think it's good because it's the grace of God being good to them. Lord, thank you for your son Jesus, for what he did coming for us to undo ultimately everything that sin has ruined. But Lord, that starts with us, that we can trust Jesus and his death on the cross. So Lord, I pray for anybody here who doesn't, they will come to grips with that for themselves. Because we're going to find out in Genesis, our lives on this earth don't last forever. Lord, thank you for your word, your magnificent love, and your amazing grace. For your blessing, please. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.